Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union, a savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Had enough of those supplements that leave you feeling nothing? Symbionica is your solution to great-tasting, all-natural supplements that actually work. Crafted with premium plant-based ingredients, their products have no seed oils, fillers, or toxins. Try them out and actually feel the difference today. Visit Symbionica.com and use code IHEART for 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Again, that's 15% off plus free shipping on your subscription order. Go to Symbionica.com, CymbioTika.com.
Well, well, well. It's my turn to say well, well, well. We're back at it again, baby. Miles is out, so I'm thrilled to be joined by super producer Jabari, and we're talking about the Steph Curry documentary, Underrated. We are talking top five starting lineups and more with comedian, long overdue guest of this podcast. One of the first people we mentioned, we said, we're doing a basketball podcast. We need to have Kenny DeForest on Miles and Jack. I'm Matt Boosties. And we got him today, folks. And Miles is ducking him. I'm Jack O'Brien.
And I'm Jabari in for Miles.
And this is Miles and Jack. Jack and Jabari. Occasionally, and Jabari. Sometimes. You got Matt Boosties.
A three-pointer. Bang! Steph Curry from downtown again!
Giannis with the take. Uh-oh, look out. No, showtime. What you got, Giannis?
Kenny DeForest. What's good, man?
Dude, it's such a pleasure. First of all, I am very proud that to be a person that when you start an NBA podcast, I'm one of the first people you think of. So that is that makes me feel real good right here in the heart.
Yeah.
And well, let Miles know, you know, just because I'm on the show doesn't mean we got to play one-on-one. Like, don't be scared, bro. We can talk, you know? I'm not asking you to meet me on the court. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's just implied by your presence and all the kind of shots that you're putting up in the background while we're having the conversation. He's got a pretty J, folks. But I remember, like, you would come on TDZ. We'd talk about the news. Then we'd break for a commercial. Then we'd talk about hoops. During the part that wasn't being recorded, then we'd come back and talk about the news. And so, yeah, very early on, we were like, "This, we need to have this man on to talk hoops." You are a Bulls fan?
I'm a Bulls fan.
A situational Bulls fan or always?
No, I want to be very, very clear. I was there for the Ron Mercer era.
Nice. Okay.
You know, I was excited when we traded for John Salmons. So, like, you know, when we took Tyrus Thomas, I was like, let's go.
The Thomas era has begun.
Let's go. Athletic upside over skill. Let the Blazers have LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah. I was just going to say, you didn't want LaMarcus? You were all about the Tyrus train?
No, I wanted LaMarcus. I was so upset. I was deeply upset. And, you know, I don't know if we want to launch into this already, but thinking about LaMarcus Aldridge and Derrick Rose in his prime just makes me want to cry myself to sleep. Because that's exactly what we needed. That's what we tried to get with Carlos Boozer, but we could have had it from the beginning.
If you go back through like pretty much any draft, there's always that, but the ones that sting the most are your own squad. I understand that. By the way, John Salmon's fantasy basketball stud for like a season and a half. I wanted him at that time on the Lakers, so I'm happy for you that you got to experience that.
The Orlando Magic do that to guys. You know, you're like a role player somewhere else. You go to the Magic, you suddenly average 18 a game, and all of a sudden, Evan Fournier is getting $16 million a year, and no one knows why, because he went to the Magic.
Yeah, that should be a category we talk about on the podcast. Is just like all time. Great fantasy players whose names most people don't know. What stats was Salmons filling up? We're not calling him Salmons?
I think it was actually Salmons, or at least I was calling him that. So maybe it was Salmons. Right. But it was because he did a little bit of everything, and he got steals and you know rebounds for his position. Yeah.
We could talk more about your fandom as we go, but really everyone is playing for second place in our hearts after watching underrated the Stephon Curry documentary, Stephen Curry, Steph Curry. There was a good moment where a high school announcer introduces him as Stephen Curry, and his mom is like, "You bozo, it's Steph Curry." But this is a triumph. The autobiographical documentary is always going to pull at your heartstrings. It's a very effective weapon, but man, it got me. How about you guys?
Yeah, man. I mean, for one, it always hurts because I always use being too small and slow as my excuse for not being in the NBA. And then you see that, and it's like, I mean, maybe I should have just like shot 1,000 jump shots a day and I would have found my way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's unreal. He was a child.
So this is the thing that struck me the most from the documentary is I was asking myself, did they digitally shrink him for all of the like old footage from college and high school? Like in high school, you'll see an NBA player who's like, you know, a point guard or something. And then you see them back in high school and they still look big compared to everyone else because they're playing in high school. But he looked teeny out there in high school. He looked, when he comes out in the big t-shirt, like for his first college, like Midnight Madness at college, and they're introducing him, like you are like, who let this child onto the practice floor? This, like, because he's also, it was at a time when all clothes were oversized. So he just looks like a kid who put on his dad's like workout stuff. But man, he looked small, even like his early Warriors days. Like I was like, did he hit a growth spurt like mid-career in the NBA? Because I don't, like that. That is my first and biggest question from the documentary is like he's 6'2". Like 6'2" is not a small person. Like Miles is 6'2". The first thing I notice about him when I hang out with him again for the first time in a while is like Miles is tall. Miles is a tall person. It's like an optical illusion because he's not small anymore. Like he doesn't strike me as small anymore. When I see him play, he just seems like a normal sized NBA guard. And I'm wondering, like, is it because he's grown so much in my estimation and I've seen him like just do so much on the court that I'm like, no, he's not small. He's like one of the best players in the league. Is it hair? Did he put his hair like, is his hair giving him an extra inch? Is it that he like his body filled out? I can't really tell what it is. Or did they digitally shrink him?
I mean, there may be a little bit of that, but no, honestly, I think you hit it on the head. It's more of his body filling out because it's one thing to be 6'2", you know, walking amongst giants or, you know, like, you know, under 6'2", or whatever the case may be, walking amongst giants. But to the point that you made, his shoulders are like 12 inches apart. You know what I mean? Like, not just when he was in college, that rookie year with Golden State, he's just a small framed guy. So to see where he is now, you know, it's still inspiring. He's still a small guy out there, but he's significantly larger than he was, you know, when early on.
You know what blows my mind about his game? And I was noticing this. I mean, I've been noticing it, but like this last playoffs, there's a couple of times. The way he's become one of the best finishers around the basket is, we know him for, he's one of the greatest, probably the greatest shooter to ever play the game. But being that small coming in, it was like, well, there's no way he'll ever finish around the hoop in the NBA. There's no way. And now I think of him as one of the best finishers in the league. And that's just a testament to how much, and it's weird. He's been able to put on strength without a ton of bulk. Like he looks bigger, but it's not like he's got those like bowling ball arms. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't have like that Sherrod Collins build or whatever. You know, it's like he's still very thin, but it's just like he put on muscle in the exact right ways where it didn't affect his touch. And I think, honestly, probably having an NBA father who was also kind of a skinny shooter probably helped him, because he, you know, having a dad that's like, listen to the nutritionists, do what they tell you, it will work. That's got to help. I'm sure a lot of guys coming in don't want to hear it. They don't want to eat super healthy, you know.
As crazy as it is, I had forgotten about his ankle issue. And, you know, I'm sure we were going to get to it. But when that part came up in the documentary, I was like, oh, yeah, on top of being small, on top of being slight of build, he also had ankle issues his first like three seasons in the league that would sideline him. And
they showed him like twist his ankle and like hobble off the court like six times in a row, which I remember that was what I knew him as when he first came in. Like, obviously, I remembered his run in the NCAA tournament. But I was like, and then like his ankles just gave out, like what he was like. One of those like Brandon Roy type people who's just like, yeah, I don't know, his body's just not built for the grind. But like, Kenny, to your point about finishing around the rim, like, I didn't even want him going to the basket in the footage from like Davidson. Like, he couldn't finish around the rim at the college level. His first game in college, he had 12. Was that right? 12 turnovers?
13, I think.
13 yeah. Turnovers. Like, he, throughout his career, he just like builds from a point of looking like a child who like does not belong there. It's really like one of the wildest things I've ever seen. Like, when I was a kid, I wrote an autobiography of Mark Jackson, cause he was my favorite NBA player when I was like 7 years old. And I like gave it to him. And the whole story was all about like how he was so small growing up. And like, everybody said he was like too tiny to play basketball. Because I just like made it up, because I had only seen him next to like Patrick Ewing and stuff. And he was like, actually, I was like normal size. Like, I was a pretty normal sized person, maybe like a little bit above average height. But like that is going to be the case almost every time. The fact that this dude was so little every time he entered a new level and like so unprepared and ended up being one of the best players in the league and like somebody who completely changed how we think about the game. Like, the Virginia Tech story is so wild. Like, he wanted to play for Virginia Tech. That's where his parents went. Like, colleges love to let legacy admissions in. They love that. They wouldn't give him a spot on the team.
His dad's jersey's in the rafters.
His dad's jersey's in the rafters. And they were like, no, thank you, sir. We've witnessed your game. And like, no, it's not happening. Like, that's how much he changed. Cause it's like, all you can do is shoot. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of important though.
Pretty good skill.
If you think about it.
Pretty good.
Well, and it's like the other crazy part, when you add in, not only was he so small, but he wasn't particularly quick. That's the other thing. Like, the fact that that's a big part of his scouting report too. I kind of understand teams being hesitant, because it's like, all right, you can be small, but you better be Allen Iverson quick. You better be like breaking dudes off. They can't stay with you. When you're running off screens, the guy's just exhausted. He can't keep up. But none of that was true when he was younger. And now I think of him as quick. But, you know, like, that's like the first thing is Reggie Miller reading his scouting report. And you're like, yeah, he wasn't even considered quick. Like, that's mind blowing.
Yeah.
But in general, I will say this. This kind of blows my mind. I feel like decision makers and shot callers, be it college or NBA, there's like a tendency to not want to overweight this guy as the son of a guy who's done this.
But I think
sometimes they overthink it and underweight it. Because it's like to use the NFL as an example, you know, TJ Watt, when he was coming out in the draft, everyone in the Watt family is like, he's the best one. And J.J. Watt's like an all-league defensive player.
He was maybe the best player in the NFL at the time.
Like, and everyone in the family's like, TJ's the guy. And he still goes 23rd in the first round. And I'm sitting there going, what is everyone doing? And now, of course, he's an all-pro pass rusher. It's like, I know you don't want to overthink it, but the DNA matters. And, you know, you've got the DNA, and you've had a coach your whole life. A guy who was known for being a great shooter. Is your father and your shooting coach. It's like, come on, take a chance on the kid. I bet he'll figure it out.
Yeah. And it's one thing if like the guy has a reputation for being a jerk or like, you know, difficult to deal with. By all accounts, Steph was awesome. By all accounts, he was like incredibly respectful. He grew up around the league. Look, I'm with you, Kenny, in terms of understanding why there may have been some hesitance. But I will always say, Minnesota, you pick two. You pick two point guards in that same draft ahead of him. I don't care. And I don't mean that as I don't want to be disparaging you, but Johnny Flynn, come on. And, you know, Ricky Rubio, like, hey, you know, all respect. He's had a great career. Well, come on, man. You had the opportunity twice and you said,
yeah, no. You had two picks and you didn't go with one flyer on the person who ended up changing the league. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to keep talking about this documentary and other stuff.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billings, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
And we're back. And just going to the point you made, Kenny, about him having a like great shooter as a dad, you get to see him go from shooting like the way going into high school, I think it is, his dad's like, he shoots from his waist, like he releases from his belly button. Wow. And you see a shot. And that's actually always been a thing that I've thought about with his shot, is that it's a much lower release than you traditionally are told like you can get away with in high level basketball. And it looks more like a kid's shot than, you know, the shots that you've traditionally seen that are like up over the hairline, you know. But it's, I don't know. I had that moment in, I think it was middle school. My dad was like, all right, you got to get your shot like off of your chest and like up above your headline. And I never made the, never made that leap, folks. Both my shots, by the way, were ugly as hell. So it was never going to happen, but man, that was like such a, did you guys ever have that where you like had to make that conscious decision to like change your shot to like be a higher release?
Jack, I was 5'10" trying to play against real players. So yeah. Yes, I absolutely had to do that. And to your point, his shot looks like the shot of a small guy that had to, you know, figure it out. So it's kind of like a fling. And far be it for me to criticize, but it absolutely is a bit of a fling even to this day.
Yeah, I had to play down low a lot. And I was only 6'2 in high school, and I grew 2 inches in college. I'm 6'4 now, but I studied Dirk. Like, if I'm going to be in the post, it's got to be straight up. I had like a different shot in the post than on the perimeter. But by the end, I was right at the eyebrow push.
Yeah.
But it took a lot, man. It took a lot to get there. Cause yeah, I was like a heaver when I was young.
Yeah. And, yeah. From the hip.
Yeah, man. And also real quick, just to your point about Virginia Tech not wanting him, I was watching that. And I honestly think though, that's probably the biggest blessing that could have happened to him is to go to a smaller school to gain his confidence. Cause dude, if you go in that small to like that, to the ACC, I mean, I don't even know if he makes it through his freshman year. You know, like you kind of, it's kind of good he has some leash to grow. Like I played with a kid that was an incredible ball player, incredible high school player, and went big time D1, and it was too much. It was like a lot, you know, and then he transferred mid-major and had a good career. But I always wonder, like, you always want to go as big as you can, but then sometimes it's not a bad thing to go smaller. You have a little more leash, you have a little more room to grow, the competition's not pushing you around as much. You can gain your confidence, you know.
Piggybacking on that, and Jack, to your point, imagine he has 13 turnovers in his first game in the ACC. Now, I'm not saying they would have benched him, but he might not have, you know, it might not have looked quite as, he might not have put 32 up in that very next game.
Yeah. So. It helps your case, and it helps your coach have confidence in you when the next option isn't, is not like near the same level as you, you know. I don't know. Just stray thoughts. First of all, I think we can now retire this trope from documentaries. You're shooting an empty chair. The person walks up. You see them from behind, sit down for an interview. They're like, take the iPad from you. And they say, all right, you want to start? That's how this opens. It's Reggie Miller who's doing the sitting down. I don't know. I'm over it. But it's obviously a very effective documentary, but that was the one moment where I was like, oh no, what are we doing here?
You thought they were running a Wendy's commercial before the doc when Reggie popped up?
Yeah. I could have used more Reggie commentary. It was funny how the 2019, like it was right around 2019 where all of a sudden the takes start getting so much spicier. Like, mm-hmm. Prior to that, you have to like rely on interviews with his parents to be like, everybody called him a twerp and like we're pushing him around. And then like 2019, all of a sudden the takes come in and they're like, Steph Curry will never be in another NBA finals. This guy isn't built for, like, this is after he's won three titles. Everyone's coming through and being like, guy's just not built. I don't like his body for the NBA. It's just like, oh my God, you can build a documentary that says anybody is an underdog at this point from now on.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm sure you could find footage. You could put together like, no one said LeBron James could make it. You could definitely, you could definitely find plenty of footage of like Stephen A. Smith being like, I don't think he ain't a leader. You know?
Do you guys remember that one Kobe commercial? It was probably like 04, 05. Specifically, it was like him reading, or it was a voice reading off like headlines that involved him, like basically detractors and doubters and things of that nature. That's the vibe that I got when I was watching this documentary, because I always foolishly initially used to think like, you're like one of the greats to ever do this. Like, why do you care? But it's only now that I realized like those guys still need that as motivation. And as much as, you know, we see them as, or, you know, not maybe not you guys, but I sometimes have seen guys as like superheroes when it comes to the things that they're able to do, you know, from a physical standpoint, they're still human beings that hear all of those criticisms and read all of those stories. So I don't know, to me, it was kind of inspirational. It was one of those, like, he's like one of us, like, cause I, you know, it normalized him as opposed to, you know, being annoying, I guess I could say.
Yeah. The watching his workouts, like, you really do get a feeling that you're like getting to watch him build his game, like, brick by brick. And watching his workouts, I mean, that's something that people like show up hours early for the game to watch. But like, that was something I could have used more workout footage, like, just like watching him like do that thing where he like bounces off one foot and does like a step back that covers 5 feet and then like nails a three like that. That was so fun. I could watch that for hours. Like, that, I could have used more just him casually making like three quarter court shots. Just because that's a unique superpower that he has.
Did you notice at one point he was just casually shooting the half court left handed three pointers, like just to do it and sinking them. Like, right. During that workout, at one point in the footage, he's just like, okay, let me just shoot a couple lefties. Just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think part of the trick of the movie is covering up the fact that this man has an actual superpower and has since he was a child. Like, yeah, being able to make threes with your left is no joke. Have you seen his golf swing? Like, it's just the most perfect. Like, it's better looking than any golf swing that you've seen on the PGA Tour. It's so beautiful.
Well, I mean, that's just until Chuck comes up. Sorry.
Yeah, what's really crazy, too, and I was talking to my boy about this, and to be clear before I say this, I'm not a LeBron hater. I know there's a lot of LeBron haters out there. I am not a LeBron hater. But you could argue that Steph changed the game in a way that LeBron did not. LeBron is amazing, but it's not like he's the first tall point guard. You know, like, we've seen Magic before. He's an elite athlete to the level that we've never seen, but when LeBron started playing, I wasn't like, oh, I've never seen this. Like, he reminded me of Scottie Pippen. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, big point forward, athlete, two-way player, elite defender. But I've seen that, not on LeBron's level, but I've seen it. Steph, like, there's a reason the NBA is played the way it is now. And it was because the Warriors showed teams what spacing can do. And that's when now everybody has to shoot threes. Everybody has to clear out. To me, that's trace back to Steph, and like, oh, we have to guard this guy as soon as he crosses half court, and then the space that creates for everybody else. And yeah, it's insane that he started off as this, like, could he even make a team?
Right. Yeah, exactly. It's, yeah, he I feel like he changed the game more than anyone since like Lou Alcindor, like whoever, like everything changed. And then, you know, Kareem comes in, everybody is like being center oriented, and then for all like decades, that's the plan. You got to do that, and like, he's completely reoriented everything. I will say, as a LeBron lover, when he went against Detroit early on, I forget what year it was in his career. I think it was like second or third year. And then, like, was just getting to the rim on the best defensive team in the league every single time. That, to me, felt like, oh, we are witnessing something that is different than I've seen anyone do at this level. Like, I've seen people go to the rim and dunk. I've not seen it be like this consistently. Just, he can get to the rim and dunk with both hands, like, every time. It was one of the craziest things. But it didn't reorient how people played the game and like game plan for the next season, right?
And that's all I mean. Like, yeah, again, totally. I'm tired of the LeBron hot takes. The guy has earned our respect. If you're a hoophead, yeah, you can critique him all you want. That's what it comes with the territory of being an all-time great. But yeah, enough. The guy's unbelievable. But again, you already said it. I just think Steph changed the way the game is played. It's remarkable. It really is.
Yeah.
If you think about it, I mean, we can look at LeBron and, you know, as much as we want, we can't duplicate that. The belief that comes with, you know, like, if you're a kid watching the game, you might, you know, think LeBron is incredible. You might think these, you know, the big guys are incredible, but all of a sudden you see this little guy, whether he's 6'2 or not, 6'2 and three quarters or whatever the case may be. You see this little guy out there just flinging it up and, you know, dipping in and somehow, you know, finding his way, you know, like, all over the court. And it's like, hey, I could probably do that, or I could possibly do that, even if I can't. So yeah. I totally understand
that. And also the idea that you can add to your game. Like, just because you come into the league because of your one skill, which is shooting. I mean, I remember early in his career, they were like, Steph's not a point guard. He's a shooting guard. And you watch him now, breaking ankles, no-look passes. I mean, he's not going to lead the league in assists, but he doesn't have to.
Yeah,
but he's a legitimate point guard. He's a legitimate three-level scorer, and he came into the league as a three-point specialist. That's it. You know, you can add to your game. Yeah. And it also makes you wonder, like, some of these guys that come in with more talent, it's like, is it a work ethic thing? Because you have access to the same shooting coaches. Like, to me, working on your jumper, like, guys that come to the NBA and never get better at shooting, I'm like, what have you been doing? Or, like, your free throw percentage doesn't increase at all throughout your career. I'm like, how is that even possible?
Like, yeah.
At the end of practice, you just, you know, shoot 100 free throws or whatever. It's like, it's inconceivable, honestly.
But I think there is a piece of Steph that is missing from this that is like, you know, KD, there's a good scene where KD comes to the celebration party they throw after, like, he breaks the all-time, you know, it opens with him breaking the all-time three-point shooting record, you know, halfway through his career. And then there's a party afterwards. KD shows up and he's like, I thought you were this little white kid when I met you like 10 years ago. I walked into a gym and there's this little white kid, like, but he's making threes from half court at that point. So, like, I really think that there is a, like, it's like having touch from 60 feet is like a weird thing that we're just like, man, he must have practiced that a lot. But it does feel like that is something that we don't necessarily think about as like a inherent ability, but it is like something that he has and has had like from early on.
He's got to have like the most elite depth perception,
truly,
and hand eye coordination in the league. And that's people don't talk about that. Hand eye coordination is a big one. You can be an elite athlete and not have that.
Yeah.
Well, that one workout that they showed, you know, right before the shooting, where he's doing like the two tennis balls, he's catching, he's crossing over, catching a tennis ball, throwing it with the other hand, all of that type of stuff. Where while I get it, like, there are people that can do that, he's doing it with such ease, it makes sense that he can do these things. Really does.
And those are the skills that I think, you know, your average fan doesn't notice, right? It's the same thing with LeBron. It's like, you look at LeBron, you see this elite athlete. You know, the quickness, the jumping, the strength, but it's the mental processing. Like, everyone who's ever played with LeBron, it's like the guy just sees the game differently. Yeah. I think Steph is, it's one thing to be able to stretch the floor like that. It's another to be able to say, okay, guys have to guard me at half court. So here's what that does to the defense. So I'm thinking two steps ahead. I'm going to whip it to Draymond and I'm going to cut and I'm going to come out the other side. Because they're so spaced out, I'm going to get a shot on this wing. Like, he sees the game in that LeBron level. I'm a couple steps ahead of all of you, and I'm aware of what me being on the floor does.
Yeah.
I know how to use it. And that's like the next step, right?
Yeah. It's cool. Like, basically no notes for this documentary, though. Totally. I think people should go check it out, especially 100%. If you're a Steph skeptic.
Or even another example, if you'll indulge me with another example. It's like when Shaq added passing. It's like once Shaq became aware, every time I touch the ball, three guys are going to come running at me. And Shaq started being able to hit those no-look passes. That, you know, Arvidas was like that. Like, it's just like a different, obviously, Jokic now. But it's like being aware of your impact on the defense and then what to do about that, I think, is a different evolution. And yes, I agree. This documentary is unreal. So good.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of things that people should go watch, on August 17th, There's this special coming out on YouTube called Don't You Know Who I Am? And this isn't me letting you go. This is me making up for the fact that I forgot to mention this up top. You have a special coming out and you talk hoops in it. Is this correct, Kenny?
I do. Yes. So I grew up playing. I played AAU as a kid. I played. I started on my varsity team in high school and then I played 2 years in college as a walk-on. That's how you become a comedian, which I say in the special. But I open the special. I tell a story about the time I had to guard Tyler Hansbrough one-on-one in a high school Psycho basketball tournament. And it went about as well as you would think. And and I kind of trace back me starting comedy to that moment.
Yeah.
And realizing that I ain't like those guys. And And so, you know, I there's like two actual basketball stories out of the book into the special. And in the middle is kind of me talking about the post-athletic drop-off that a lot of athletes feel and experience. And I felt like was something that needed to be talked about. You know, there's a lot of like, you know, you have this thing and it's all your energy, all your focus. It gives you all these dopamine hits. And then that's just taken away one day. And no one prepares you for life after. And I think a lot of guys get in a lot of trouble. Drugs, alcohol, those things become really kind of fill that void. And I started telling these jokes, and I really felt like I was striking a nerve, because the number of people that were coming up to me after show being like, dude, my cousin, my brother, my sister, I can't believe no one's talked about that. Yeah, you know, and I've lost a couple buddies and to drugs. And when you talk to people afterwards, it's like, yeah, I just don't think he ever moved on. He never found that next thing. And so the special is kind of about like putting it to bed and finding your next love and finding a place to put that energy is basically what it is. So
that sounds cool, man.
That sounds awesome. Well,
everybody should go check it out. Yeah. I mean, I need to check it out because I'll be honest. After my high school career, I was just in a better mood because I was like getting dunked on by Dan Gedzurek less.
Dan Gedzurek, let's go.
I don't identify at all. that was my psycho tea encounter. I was like, all right, I'm gonna body up Dan Gedzurek, and I got bodied.
In fairness to you guys, Dan Gedzurek, if I'm not mistaken, is a legit 7-footer, and Tyler's gotta be 6'8", you know. That must have been a rough day. Exactly. Those were some pretty rough matchups.
Yeah.
No, and I say this in the story, and it's true. It's to the point where I wonder if my coach got paid off, because Roy Williams was there watching the stand. And I swear to God, my coach said he made me guard him one-on-one. And he was like, no help. They have shooters on the perimeter. And I was like, so I literally got put on an island with Psycho T in front of Roy Williams. And I was like, wow, you're serving me up like a sweet man. All right.
Well, I guess I'm not playing for UNC.
Cool. Thanks, coach. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Dan Gedzurek. That's a good one, man. Those are my favorite stories. I love when I find out people hooped, like, who's the best guy that dunked on you? Because there's always one really bad one.
Yeah. I just kept getting up. I was thinking of the movie Rocky instead of, like, Hoop Dreams. I was just like, you know what? At the end of this, I'm going to be stronger. And instead, my teammates just couldn't make eye contact with me for the rest of the season.
if it makes you guys feel better, you guys got dunked on by NBA players. I've been dunked on by guys that went overseas, and you know it.
I've been dunked on by everyone, man.
It feels just the same.
I want to be clear. I've been dunked on by just the nicest dude at the Y.
Yeah. Been dunked on by a guy who's like, oh my god, I've never dunked before. That was wild. Did you
Woody
see
Harrelson
that?
At the end of White Man Can't Jump, he finally catches it. Yeah. It's on you.
That's right. All right. We're gonna take a quick break. And Kenny, when we come back, we are going to enter the danger zone, the fastest segment in podcasting. Hold on to your butts, hold on to your hats if you're wearing them, because they're going to be spinning around, both your butt and your hat. We'll be right back.
The 82 game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together, It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does the hard parts for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. With a home management team that provides support before, during, and after your stay, so you can focus on the relaxing, hosting, and making memories with family and friends. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. With Picasso, you can stop saying someday and start building family traditions today in a vacation home you own and revisit time after time. Visit Picasso.com today to see thousands of luxury vacation home listings. That's PACASO.com.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
And we are back. And oh, Kenny. Kenny.
I don't think he's ready.
You've really stepped in it this time, friend. This is the rapid fire segment. This is where Jabari and I are just firing questions at you like so many tennis balls and basketballs in Steph's workout drill. And you've just got to juggle them. And the other thing we're going to be doing is like being really bad at keeping this moving. And that is not a design flaw. That is because I'm bad at keeping things moving as a podcaster. So you're just going to have to keep us on track. And the segment starts right now. Brian, could you start the clock, please?
Wait. I don't think he's going to hear you.
Thanks.
I don't think he's going to hear if you say it like that. He's accustomed to it. He's accustomed.
Yeah, he is all the way across the room. Brian,
start the clock!
Wow. All right. Kenny, we're asking each guest, which young player will have a breakout season in 2023-24? As we saw with Steph, you know, sometimes that means this is suddenly their team's year. Some of the guys that have been tossed around, Ty Maxey. I've been noticing a lot of people dropping the Reese, just Ty Maxey. Maybe that's going to turn things around for the Philadelphia 76ers. Cade Cunningham, Al Shengun, Austin Reeves. Is it too early to say Wembanyama? Probably. Scoot, who do you think is going to have a season where all of a sudden this is the only person anybody can talk about?
I'm going to go with Jalen Green. I like what the Rockets did. A lot of people beat him up. But I think giving him Fred VanVleet to take a lot of the pressure, because his issue has been efficiency and turnovers. But otherwise, he's already scoring in the 20s. And I think VanVleet helps him. I know Dylan Brooks is a knucklehead, but he's also a second-team All-NBA player.
Yep.
People kind of write off Dylan Brooks. I get it. But you know another great defender that was a total knucklehead and then found new life with a new team? Meta World Peace, baby.
Yeah.
So sometimes a change of scenery helps guys like that. And I think the attitude that makes Dylan Brooks a knucklehead is why he's a great defender. I also like Kevin Porter Jr. off the bench. So now the Rockets suddenly, like, you kind of got better at two positions with VanVleet because you slide him to six man, where I think you just let him cook off the bench. And the Rockets are so bad, people don't realize. Kevin Porter Jr. averaged 25-5 last year.
Yeah.
I know that because of fantasy basketball. Like,
there you go.
That's a talented player. Then you got Tari Eason, now coming off the bench, who I love. Jabari Smith was the star of Summer League, which I know is just Summer League, but
he counts.
He's got potential to be an all-NBA defender. So you got Van Vliet, who's a good defender. Brooks, who's a good defender. Smith, who's a good defender. And Şengün. Jalen Green finally has a team around him. And the talent is undeniable. The guy's unreal. And I think the Rockets are going to surprise people. And I think they're going to make the play-in game, the play-in tournament. I think Jalen Green's going to be a big reason why.
It's funny. Jabari and I were at Summer League. And I remember he turned to me and he said, "Is Jabari Smith Jr. even out there? This guy stinks." And then he put 30 points, hung 30 on Jabari's head. And that is right not on. A story that I just changed from being about me to being about Jabari. That actually
here's
happened.
Here's the other thing, too. You know who Jabari reminds
okay,
me of?
Was
OG
me. I said that. I said this
oh, you
guy
just said,
stinks.
That was you. There'll be no yeah. Jabari on Jabari crime. On this
it was
podcast.
Me. It was me.
Almost like you've done this. That's where I was going with it. I was not slandering. But no, I was right there with Jack saying like, and then all of a sudden he hit 4 threes in a row and said, "Shut up to both of us."
Yeah.
From way up top.
We were screaming it from the rafters.
But Kenny, I don't know if you heard this instruction at the top. You're supposed to keep us going. So like if we start to deviate or we start to talk about some other stuff, you have to snap us back in the line.
And well, let's keep going.
Okay. Well, excuse me. So also, Jack mentioned earlier that we're going to be firing, you know, questions at you. I'm more of the pea shooter from Harlem Nights. I'm that third guy with just a little pop, pop. So here you go.
Sure.
And I'm more of a pew, pew, pew.
There it is.
Just, okay. Yeah.
What sound would you make if you were a guy?
Pow, 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 pow.
Yeah, all right. I had a feeling right. That was going to be his answer, Jabari. I wouldn't have even asked like the it. Damn question.
And then if you really piss me off, it's more of a clap, 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 clap.
Okay, uh-huh. All right. Well, if you could have any player's skill set for a day, whose and what skill set would it be?
I would want to know what it's like to dunk like Zach LaVine.
Oh, yeah.
I want to
yeah.
know what that feels like. I mean, I used to be able to dunk a little bit, and even that, I still dream about it. I still dream that I'm flying through the air, which I wasn't even flying through the air. To know what it is to float like that. Come on. Let me have it one time.
Who are you yeah. dunking on? Nobody ever asked this. That's what I want to know. Who are you dunking on?
And
you
it can't be me.
I'm dunking on Rudy Gobert and saying that's for COVID.
Here it is. Wow.
That's wow. what I'm saying.
So now Jack on my shoulders, Rudy Gobert. Yeah. All right.
That would be fun to dunk on people's shoulders and just have them explode apart like yeah. with your powerful pool. Dunk.
I'm dunking on you, Miles, and Jabari in a trench coat.
There it is. There it is.
I definitely have a new answer to this question now that I've watched Underrated, because I feel like there are parts in that documentary where they cut together so many like mistakes and like turnovers and missed shots that you like forget what you've watched up to that point. You're like, does this guy stink? Does Steph Curry, did I make up the past 5 years where he's like one of the best players in the league? I think he's holding back on us. Like, I think if I was Steph Curry for a day, I would just try some things out, like throw a football into, like, I feel like he would be the king of dude perfect shots, timely mm-hmm. ref that all the kids are still talking about. But I feel like he could thread an actual needle with thread from like a football field away. Like he's just not revealing that he has a literal superpower because he doesn't want us to know. Anyways, you're supposed
that.
To keep me on track.
Do something to that.
More questions.
All right.
Come on. Hit me.
All right. You can take two players from all of history to create your Mad Boosties edition NBA Jam team, which should be coming. I mean, the league has heard this segment. I got to think that's coming pretty soon. But which two players are you taking?
Steph Curry and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yep. Ooh. It's the correct correct answer.
Yes.
I've said this before. It's that's the right answer.
That's the answer. I don't know
I'm
what
sorry,
else you want
folks.
From me.
That's the answer.
That's fair. Let's keep this going a little bit.
Yeah, let's go. Come on.
Ultimate peak, prime T-Mac or prime Paul George?
Wow. I'm going to say T-Mac because I don't feel like people are as disappointed in him as they are Paul George. There's a lot of unanswered questions with Paul George. There's a lot of like, does he have it? I never heard anyone suggest that T-Mac disappears in the playoffs. I'll say that. I never heard that brought up. And so, and I don't remember T-Mac load managing.
The second round said it about T-Mac, but that's neither here nor there.
That's a good point. Maybe we just didn't expect it from T-Mac. Maybe the expectations were lower. But yeah.
I think it's that thing with like 2019, and that's when the spicy takes come in the documentary. It's like all of a sudden you have people being like, Steph Curry is bad at basketball. I think like it's harder to be a player, or maybe easier because you get so much more motivational material.
But you know what? I will say this. Hold on. I had to think about it for a second. I know this is rapid fire. Paul George is also in his peak. He was like a true two-way player. And I don't remember T-Mac ever being known for his defense. So Paul George, final answer.
There we go. I think it's the right answer. Speaking of Steph, we recently got his all-time top five. It was Magic Johnson at point guard, Michael Jordan at shooting guard, Larry Bird at small forward, but then he revised that because he has been on the internet, to Kobe Bryant at small forward, Tim Duncan at power forward, and Shaquille O'Neal at center. Are you making any revisions to that starting five?
Someone's got to be able to shoot a three. I mean, what are we just going to clog the lane? Come on. Give me Larry. What were you like? Yeah, I know we were all the respect for Kobe, but you got to have somebody stretching the floor, bro. Come on. Yeah. Now.
No, you know, especially like, in today's game.
Yeah, Michael and Kobe are redundant. You just put the same, you put Michael Jordan and then a Michael Jordan cover band on the same floor.
Maybe you haven't been on the internet. No disrespect to Kobe. Your mentions.
He played the skill set for Mike.
The skill set for redundant.
He was unbelievable at it. And I don't blame him. Of course you want to be like Mike. I wanted to be like him. But, you know, I need someone to shoot a three.
Jack, do you have a five?
I would put Steph out there.
Yep.
I think I'd put Steph out there at two, put MJ at three, or, you know, put Steph at one, put MJ at two, and yeah, maybe Steph at one, MJ two, LeBron at three. LeBron needs to be out there, man.
Yeah, no disrespect to Magic, but there's your point forward.
Yeah.
You know, and that's going to help.
We're good here.
Playmaking. Yeah, we're solid.
And I might go Dream at center.
I like it.
Yeah.
Hakeem, man. And just, which Tim Duncan just came up. I'm so excited that Wendy went to San Antonio and Tim Duncan is on the staff and is just going to teach Wendy to be 7'2" Tim Duncan. And he can already shoot. It's preposterous what's about to happen. It's going to be nasty.
It's going to be so fun.
All right. Keeping it going. Last question.
Sure.
This is the most important one.
Hit me.
Jack or Jabari?
Ooh. Okay. So I know a little bit. All right, what'd you play, Jabari? You're 5'10". You a point guard?
I was a 5'10 point power forward.
Okay, so you're like a 5'10 Draymond. You're going to give me basically a little bit of everything?
Basically,
Jack, what are you bringing to the table?
I was like a 6'1 Draymond. Couldn't shoot worth shit, but would defend and let Dan Gadzirik dunk on me until he was exhausted. I was like rope-a-doping him. I was like, surely he's going to get tired of dunking on me. That's not in no way an energizing thing, right?
Yeah, maybe if I go fetal position, he'll feel bad for me.
Have I sold myself?
Jabari, how's the jumper? Smooth?
My jumper's nice. That's one thing I can tell you.
I'm taking Jabari, baby. I need shooting.
What are you talking about?
I need shooting on this team, bro.
You don't want my rickety-ass jumper? But I play defense, and I always make the right pass.
He's real gritty.
Even if you can't shoot, I want guys on my team that say they can shoot. I want delusional confidence.
Yeah.
I want you coming in going 0-10 and being like, yo, pass me the ball, bro. I'm open.
Hit me.
I'm trying to go 0-19.
I'm trying to go
0-19.
Yeah.
I got Gadzirik where I want him. Hit me in the book.
Right there. Yeah.
My free throw like routine before I would shrug my shoulders and be like, I'm not gonna even make it anyways. I did that before every free throw. That was just.
I actually believe that you did that. That's the funny thing.
What's the fucking point? Oh, sorry.
What's the point here?
Yeah. Anyways, Kenny DeForest, truly a pleasure. We've been excited to have you on Boosties for a long time, and you did not disappoint, sir. We'll have to have you back on again soon. Where can people see you, find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
So I'm on Instagram. I prefer Instagram. I just feel like if you're trying to follow an artist, it's kind of the most like you're actually going to see me promoting my shows. I do have a TikTok. I post a lot of videos there. The special comes out the 17th of August, and I'm going to do a live stream on YouTube, like a live release on YouTube, where you can watch it with me and comment and ask questions, and I'll be on. I'll be answering those. So that link is not quite live yet, but once it is, the best way to see that will be on Instagram. I might be back on Twitter one day. We'll see. But for now, I'm just trying to focus my efforts on those couple so that I can still have some energy to like write jokes and stuff.
Yeah.
Not just on my phone all day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know what your problem is with Twitter. We love it here at Mad Boosties. I think this guy Elon is killing it.
Destroying it. Yeah. Literally destroying
it. Literally destroying it. All right. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien and on Threads, where I am. I'm not very active on Twitter. I'm even less active on Threads, but I am there at Jack_O_Brien. Jabari, where can people find you?
You can find me, of course, on the Twitter, Jabari Davis NBA. You can find Miles, of course, at Miles of Gray.
Yes,
not
sir.
Sure about his Threads.
Yeah, he's there.
No,
both places.
There we are.
All right. That is going to do it for this episode of Mad Boosties. We are back next week to talk more NBA, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Goodbye.
Peace.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.